What's up, listeners? On this week's pod, a new intro segment. We'll touch on Formula One and dudes wearing the jersey number one. Coin and I took five of the most popular game shows, and we added our own tweaks to make them a little more enjoyable. Most importantly, NFL football starts tonight, assuming you're listening to this on Thursday. We give you another round of The Bookie Show with our week one picks. Lastly, Stumptown, then we out. Let's do it. That, my friends, is the sound of a couple crisp beers being cracked. And this is the sound of your favorite podcast, The Rookie Show. Welcome, everybody, to The Rookie Show. I am one of your hosts, Travis Knoll. Joining me, as per usual, Mr. 503 himself. He's the guy that came up with the Go Furs t-shirts.
Facts.
A what up coin.
You're so gnolly. Yes, that was a play on Holy, of course, by the great band Florida Georgia Line. What up, Knoll?
I don't think they say you're so holy, but that's whatever. I'm sure you know this. They don't say so. Oh, that's it. It's just you're holy.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. I really liked your version, though.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It reminded me of guacanole.
Guacanole. Holy noly.
How are you doing today, Coin?
I'm feeling great. I got a little bit of a sore throat, so apologies in advance if I clear my throat, but you'll get over it.
I hate when people clear their throat. It really bothers me. So
I know. I was going to say, as the worst throat clearer I've ever met in my entire life.
You know, I was talking about to my coworkers about that this week, and most of them were like, oh, I didn't even notice. I'm like, I probably shouldn't have said anything, because now you're definitely going to
notice. You're going to notice all the time.
Doing it constantly. Coin, let's just jump right into it. What are you drinking this evening?
I have for you, Knoll, a very fun beer from Fort George Brewing out of Washington. I have for you the Three-Way IPA. It's a nice turquoise can. I've got a peacock playing a violin.
Oh, my. Yes.
A penguin playing the drums.
Oh.
Yeah, then the drum set says Moonraker. I think that must be Moonraker Brewing Co. Oh, I thought it was Fort George Brewing. Okay.
Well, it's,
I
guess the Fort George Three-Way IPA.
Interesting.
I guess.
Cool. Yeah. And then I also have, I have no idea. Oh, it's a turkey. Okay. It's a turkey playing the guitar. It looks a very odd looking turkey, though.
It is a strange looking turkey. He's got some nice spikes behind him.
Yeah. But I got to say, the can is phenomenal. I'm very much enjoying it. They're playing it like over the top of a mountain. And it tastes phenomenal. So,
I mean, you can't go wrong there. You've got three birds playing instruments.
And look at this.
It's a legit. It's not a label.
That's a legit, baby. That's not a label slapped on this bitch.
Is that a pinter?
Oh, yeah. And it's a pint can.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really happy for you. Did today.
Washington State, you're saying, right?
Washington State, yes.
They're trying to make up for that beatdown that Montana gave them this weekend.
Fuck yeah. Fuck the skis. Go Grizzlies.
Grizzlies over the skis.
Yeah. I will say the one thing about this is I had to buy it in the four pack of the tall boys, which I don't like doing, because it's like a mental block where it's also like $11 still.
Yeah.
And I don't think I should be spending that much on four beers.
Yeah. Understood. I have the same type of beer. I've got a 16 ouncer from a four pack. This is actually the one that, when Katie and I went to the Zoo Brews, it was one of our favorite ones. It is from Revolution Brewing here in Chicago, where you've probably heard of the Anti-Hero. That's like their famous one, IPA. They have like, all of them are heroes. This one is called the Brunch Hero. It is a, it's like a warrior woman, but her head is some hops.
Okay.
She's real thick. She's wearing like almost like an astronaut outfit, but she's got some sort of saber there as well.
She kind of looks like a Samus.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. And actually, I think her left arm is a bottle of champagne or something, perhaps.
Okay.
Looks like the cannon. Okay. Yeah.
Sheamus, that's what she has, the cannon arm, yeah.
Bright orange, fun designs. The top is black, which is kind of interesting. You know, top. Yeah.
I think I'm into
It is an early rising hazy with blood orange. I'm into blood orange, and I'm into hazies.
I love blood orange. Yeah. Oh, I love blood orange so much. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get San Pellegrino's?
I don't, but I've had them. And yes, blood orange San Pellies are pretty good.
Yeah, it's really nice with there's a sandwich place a few blocks from my house called Tails and Trotters. Mm-hmm. And they got this Italian grinder with gabagool on it. Mm-hmm. And I get a little San Pellegrino blood orange with that bad boy.
Sounds like quite a day.
Oh, that's a full day. That's a Friday.
But also, my beer does not have the label, so it's quite nice.
Very much like your beer. I like the mix of, it's kind of got the Hokies look, you know, the orange and red mixed together. Mm-hmm.
Sure, of course. Yeah,
I'm into that.
Of course. And I forgot what I was going to say, but it's good.
Hell yeah.
What other beers did you have this weekend? Both Coin and Noel attended some big D1 college football games last week.
There was a minute, Noel. We were in the same state.
We were both in Wisconsin for a Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Up in a mansion out in Wisconsin. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of beers. I was on vacay from Wednesday to Sunday in Minnesota meeting Nikki's family. Very wonderful people. Uh-huh. Me and the mom are just homies.
Shouts.
She loves college football. Immediately started, we were talking about games, and then she's like, oh my God, what's the line on that even? And I was like, oh my, what's up? Let's talk some college football. But so we get there, walk in, immediately she's like, I brought back from, she was in Door County like a month or two ago. She's like, I knew you guys were coming, so I brought back Spotted Cow. And I was like, no fucking way, that's sick.
That is so sick.
So I had a Spotted Cow within probably 20 minutes of walking into her house. And I gotta say, it lived up to every ounce of the hype. I loved it. It was fantastic.
It's, great beer. It's a fantastic it's beer. It's great. Can't go wrong with it.
Were yours out of cans or bottles?
They were, the ones I was drinking were out of cans, but it's better out of a bottle, I think.
The bottle of Spotted Cow is a top tier beer.
It's prime.
There's few, it feels like everything I think a Blue Moon is going to be when I first have it.
Interesting. Like, just the experience? Because the taste is not similar to
No, it's not a Hef. It's certainly not a Hef. Right. Is it a pale? Is that what it is?
I think it's just an ale. I don't even think they call it a pale ale. It's just an
Yeah,
ale.
I don't... It's so easy to drink. It's... Yeah. I don't know. I can't even describe it any better. But the other thing, I also had a Moon Man. Have you had one of those?
I've not had a Moon Man, but that's all another new Glurus, yeah.
Arguably just as good. I might have even liked it more. It was their IPA. And I accidentally grabbed it out of the fridge, and I started drinking. I was like, this tastes different, but I mean, I love this beer. And then Nikki was like, oh, you didn't go for the Spotted Cow? And I was like, huh, all right, sweet. But I wanted to have one more Spotted Cow before we left, so I chugged that.
Oh, good, of course.
Yeah. So did that. Also, Big Ten beers. You and I also both attended football games. I attended the Big Ten kickoff or like college football kickoff game on Thursday between Minnesota and Ohio State. Minnesota up at the half. I was going absolutely bonkers as the world's biggest Furs fan. Beers were flowing. We went down, met up with probably 10, 12 of Nikki's college friends.
Yeah.
Got brunch at like noon. Game wasn't until 7. Started drinking right away. All pretty tuned up by the game. And I got to say, it was a fantastic day. Beers at the game. It's been a minute. Those were delicious.
The college football atmosphere at a big school like that in a big game like that is just unmatched. It's fantastic.
So I was actually going to bring this up to you. You and I are both not huge college football guys, right?
Nope, not at all. Correct.
We grew up in Montana. I mean, the team's Cat and Grizz. It's awesome. It's fun. I wasn't even born in Montana, though, so I never really had like an allegiance to the Cats and Grizz, and I'm sure yours stems from your parents don't really care about the Cats and Grizz.
Yeah, probably.
But then, like in college, obviously we were playing sick. And we weren't really watching college football and didn't have, go to a big school that had like tailgates and everything, but the experience was fantastic. There wasn't any tailgates, which is a huge bummer, but the drinking at the bars before heading to the stadium was phenomenal, and the stadium itself, top notch.
I'm happy to hear that. I would have loved to be at your game. Your game was full of big plays and lead changes and underdogs and dudes ripping off big runs. The game I went to was a bit of a defensive battle, you might say.
Yeah.
It was pretty ugly. It was close, and it was exciting at times, but not quite as entertaining as your game.
The one thing, in the third quarter, the star running back for Minnesota did, in fact, snap his Achilles, which was pretty shitty.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the game kind of turned.
You probably didn't realize at the time, but like, the clip that they showed on TV, it was incredibly obvious that he tore his Achilles. It snapped, and everyone on social media is like, yeah, he's done. So, yeah. And that dude was an absolute freak, by the way. I feel really
bad. He was balling. It was so sick. Last thing is State Fair beers. So the Minnesota State Fair, second biggest state fair in the nation to Texas.
Okay.
I will say, it does not matter what state fair you are at. You are going to see the exact same people. It's just, you are going to see the families, the kids with rat tails, super overweight people.
The carnies.
Weird carnies, hillbillies. Like, it's all encompassing. Rich families. Mm-hmm. It's all there. It's very strange. But the food was fantastic. Had cheese curds. I would say my top three. I know you didn't ask for this yet.
I did.
Right when I was walking it in, I was pretty hungry. Got a sea doggy off the bat. Corn doggy was fantastic. I love corn dogs very much. Jalapeno cheese curds. I'm not as big of a cheese curds fan as most people in the Midwest because I think that they're just obsessed with ranch, and that's the only reason they get them, so they can dip them in ranch.
Interesting. Okay.
Are you a cheese curds guy?
I like cheese curds. Yeah.
Okay. And then I would say third is probably the Cajunized fried pickles I had. Very, very, very good.
Cajunized?
It's Cajunized.
What does that even mean? Time.
Just like, you know, southern seasoning. You know, like Cajun tots.
Yeah, but Cajunized? Why is that a word?
It's what it says on the menu. I don't know what you're asking from me.
Okay. Fair enough. Sprinkled with Cajun seasoning. It has been Cajunized. Okay.
But I also, while there, was determined to win something from playing the games. Fair games are so damn hard, and you don't get any warm-up, and it sucks. Came close to making my free throws or a longer, whatever, what I shot on this basketball thing, missed both shots. What was the other ones? Really fucked up. I tried the softball one where you have to knock over the bottles. It's completely missed. I was trying to throw way too hard.
Usually, real can they get shot. You because you have to like knock them off the table, right? So some people like knock them over, but they don't fall off the table and it doesn't count. Bullshit.
But then I finally came around and I got it on the dart throw to pop the balloons. Popped 2 out of 3. Kind of. I popped 2 out of 6 because I had to buy a second round. I missed my first three somehow. So I spent $30 to get Nikki this shitty little pink ball, but it was worth every fucking penny.
It's all about the win, baby. You can't put a price on victory.
It's all that matters. Yep. So that was my beers and my weekend.
That's great. I had some similar experiences. I went to the Wisconsin versus Penn State game in Madison, Wisconsin. Never been up to Madison. Nice little town. I liked it.
Is it?
There's some water there. I don't really know what body of water it is, but it's nice.
It's water everywhere.
There were a lot of tailgates there. We went and parked, and there's just people tailgating everywhere. And just that atmosphere was fantastic. We went to a couple bars. Like, the bars right next to the stadium and right on campus, the band comes through before the game, but like in sections. So first the drum line comes through and just like does their thing inside the bar, and then they leave. And then all the tubas come in and they do their thing in the bar. That was pretty cool.
Okay.
I don't know if I've seen that. I like that. Get behind that. The game was fine. Wisconsin lost. Their quarterback blows. Graham Mertz. His name is Graham, and he really grammed it at the end. I mean, like he the quarterback throws a pick in the red zone with like 2 minutes left, and most of the fans start leaving. They end up getting the ball back and getting back into the red zone, and he throws another pick. So he grammed it twice in the last 2 minutes. So
hell yeah. Big grams.
So that was a good time. Now, when I was in Wisconsin, we went to a brewery after the game, and in honor of last week's pod, I found a beer called Fantasy Factory.
Oh.
And I did have it, and it was pretty good. I don't know where it was from.
Is it Rob Dyrdek inspired?
It might have been. It had a unicorn on the picture, but...
Okay. Yeah.
So then other beers. So on Sunday, Labor Day Sunday, decided to have some friends over and go to the beach because we live right on the beach. And it was a beautiful day in Chicago. And beach beers, good beer. Oh, and it's like 80 degrees out. Now, technically not allowed to drink them, so you're pouring them into solo cups like in the bag, but drinking them out of the solos. So we played a lot of spike ball.
Oh.
And Katie fell in love with spike ball the first time she played, of course.
I'm shocked that this is the first time she played. I'm not remotely surprised that she's that competitive at it or whatever.
Right. She was playing. So somehow these guys from Ireland showed up. And then at one point it was just Katie and three dudes from Ireland playing spike ball while we all sat like a few yards away drinking our beers. So she was quite competitive. Yeah. So after that, we went to a party with a bunch of Notre Dame dudes to watch the Notre Dame-Florida State game. And I would like to give a shout-out to... I considered being a Florida State fan because they're the Noles, and I am also a Knoll. My family is the Noles. Not only that, their quarterback's last name is Travis. So Travis of the Noles. And I saw that. I'm like, okay, I got to be a fan of this guy. And at one point, he threw an absolute pill down the sideline for like a 60-yard bomb. And I just let out a huge boom to everyone in the room, and they were not happy because they were all Notre Dame fans. So that was a good time.
That's the one game I was really bummed about missing.
It was a cool game. Actually, I'll tell you what, it was a fantastic game. Like, it was a really fun game to watch. And all the Notre Dame people were just nervous because they blew a big lead, but I was enjoying the hell of it. And I didn't care who won. So
the only thing that could have been better is if Notre Dame had lost.
Right. I did want them to lose, to be honest.
Yeah.
Two quick tangents on that. I did mention that pill. Do you think there's a difference between a dime and a pill?
I do indeed.
My inclination would be to say a pill feels more like an over-the-top drop in the bucket, and a dime is more like on a rope to like maybe a corner route or like a deep out. I mean, you can use them somewhat interchangeably, but I feel like you kind of know it when I see it.
My initial reaction is that you are correct in the... Mm-hmm. I feel like dimes are really accurate bullets, like over the middle in traffic, you know, everything you mean. But I think you're right, totally spot on, that the pills are the long arcing, you know. I will say that not all dimes are pills, but all pills are dimes.
Okay. So a dime in general... is just an incredible pass.
Yes.
More commonly categorized as a laser, but doesn't have to be. But a pill needs to be a certain type of pass.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. I'd have to agree with that.
There you have it.
My very last thought on that game in particular is I'd like to give out the first ever Juana Man Among Girls of the week.
Oh, of the season. It's great.
For those of you that don't know, some players just ball out and they're men among boys. But other players stand out even more, and they are Juana Man among girls. So the first J-Mag of the week goes to Kyle Hamilton, the safety for Notre Dame, who made one of the stupidest interceptions I've ever seen. He's supposedly going to be a top five pick in the NFL, and I hadn't even heard of him until last Sunday night. And it was a throw. He was weak side safety, and it was a bomb down the right side of the field, and he just appeared out of nowhere and caught it and fell out of bounds. And, like, in the moment, everyone that we were watching was like, holy shit, where'd he come from? And then they show the replay, and you're like, holy shit, he covered so much ground. It was ridiculous.
Is he fast as shit?
He's fast as shit, yes. And he's...
After watching that game?
He had two picks in the first half, so...
After watching the game, were you like, yes, I believe, I understand why he will be a first five top
absolutely.
Pick?
Absolutely, okay. yes.
That's sick. Can't wait for the Falcons to get him.
Congrats, Kyle.
Congrats, Kyle. Give me that, Kyle.
All right. Here's a moment that listeners have been waiting for. A new intro segment.
The clamoring.
Even though
it's new segment, Ty.
19 minutes in, and this is still considered an intro, I guess. I'm not really sure.
Hey, it's whatever.
We're going to call this the coin toss. Coin.
Is it the coin toss or the coin flip?
Oh, I figured
coin toss makes more sense. No, coin toss is better. Tossing. Dang it. I had coin flip Philadelphia written down. Now it doesn't make any sense. Coin toss is good. Yeah.
It is C-O-Y-N-E, of course, toss. So here's my explanation. So Each week in the NFL, we're going to start the rookie show with a coin toss. We will each come up with a stat or thought or note or story, something noteworthy in general. Could be pretty loose criteria there, but it has to have some connection to the number of the week that we're on. Is that correct?
Correct.
So, for instance, we are on week one of the NFL, so we're both going to center our thought around the number one. That's pretty much the only rule. So first, Coin will toss his thought at me, and then I will toss my thought back to Coin, hence the name Coin Toss.
Coin Toss. Perfect. Noel.
Yes.
I mentioned to you before the pod that I noticed everybody now is talking about Formula One. That is right. The week one this week for me is Formula One.
Oh.
Not really a racing fan, definitely not NASCAR, so why should I care about overseas racing?
Good question.
Formula One has actually been around for a long, long time. The earliest European motor races originating in Europe in the 1920s and 30s.
Hmm.
The formula is the set of rules that all the participants' cars must meet, and Formula One was the formula agreed upon during 1946 after the end of World War II. I won't get into the specifics of the races, because for the most part, the idea is that you finish first, and you try to build up points. Basically like a Mario Kart Cup.
Of course, yes.
But they call them Grand Prix. The rules are stringent, and the drivers must announce any changes to the car or the tires, of which there are like 11 possible makeups, before every single race. But I'm more interested in the rise in popularity. This year, ESPN is reporting that 946,000 viewers per race are watching. That is up 41% from 2019.
Wow.
As an individual who looks a lot at 2019 numbers compared to now, that is an insane jump. Most companies right now are trying to just get back to 2019 figures. I get viewership is different than supply and demand and all that stuff, but still.
Yeah.
Just trying to get back to those figures, let alone blow them out of the water. Last year, Netflix put out Formula One, Drive to Survive. People absolutely ate it up, and most of the rise can be attributed to that. It certainly doesn't hurt that the racers they focused on are Daniel Ricciardo and Lewis Hamilton, are very handsome dudes.
Mm.
But I think they also portray racing in a way that shows there's a lot more strategy and skill to it than just driving cars fast. The other part of it is that Formula One has a massive, massive gambling following in Europe, as you can see in a lot of movies like Bond movies, Iron Man movies, where they're in Monte Carlo and you're racing right by these resorts and people are just gambling, right? It's like horse racing to them.
Mm-hmm.
And with rise in gambling availability in the U.S., I have to imagine that that might have even had a larger impact. Formula One and racing in general is a money monster. Cars are great spots for advertising, and there are lots of options to put up ads all over racetracks, so much so that in the list of the 10 highest paid athletes of this last year, all of the usual names are there, of course, McGregor, Messi, Ronaldo, LeBron, but creeping into the top 10 at number 8 is Lewis Hamilton, who this past season earned $82 million. Maybe it's time to get interested in racing.
I'm interested. I could get into it. Right? I think I just want to watch the show first, and then it probably will get into it.
I feel like I want to check it out.
Okay. I'm in. Let's watch it. I actually, we've been looking for a new show to start. I'm not trying to tangent from the F1, but we watched.
No, you're good.
Started watching Outer Banks, and
I've seen it all.
You have seen it all? We watched 4 episodes. I think we're quitting. Not into it.
Hey, I totally get it. It actually picks up a little bit after the first 4. It does, but it's not.
The plot. I just don't like the characters yet. Like, none of them are like speaking to me.
How much does Sarah Cameron's face bother you? She's always like,
yeah, it bothers me. Yeah, for sure. Wait, what's she like? Okay, wait. Back to F1. Yes. I'm very interested. Note that in Mario Kart they do call it Grand Prix as well.
So. They do. They do indeed call it Grand Prix.
Hence the name. That's the name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was very interested in those facts about F1, so thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Yep. Let me toss it back to you, Noel.
Thanks. Okay. I will toss this to you, Coin, hence the name Coin Toss. Week one, I'm going to tell you about jersey number one.
Okay.
In the NFL. Since 1960, 93 NFL players have worn jersey number one.
Hmm.
So 93 players in the last, 60 years?
Yep.
Would you care to guess how many more players are going to be wearing number one this year?
I'm going to guess. Wait, new players?
Yeah, players that have not worn number one in the NFL are going to be wearing number one in 2021.
I'm going to say 12.
17.
Ah,
pretty wild. that 93 in 60 years and now. And I'm sure that has to do with A, there at one point it was like taboo to wear a number one because like you're too cocky. And B, they're like now letting like D linemen wear single digit numbers and stuff like that. So I thought that was interesting. But Pro Football Reference created a stat called approximate value, which is their way to just basically rank every football player against each other of all time. So for reference, Tom Brady is the all-time leader. He's at exactly 300. That's his value. And then only 62 players in the history of the league even have half of that. So he's pretty high up there. Some notable people who have worn jersey number one. And keep in mind, this approximate value is for the time that they wore the number one jersey. It's not for their whole career. It literally only counts those games. Warren Moon, number one, with 163. Yep. Cam Newton, number two, 138. Gary Anderson, number 92. Was he a Falcon, right? Yeah.
The Falcon kicker, right?
Long time
kicker. You're thinking of Mortensen.
Oh, you're right. Thinking of Mortensen. I don't know who Gary Anderson is.
No, I don't know.
And then Jason Elam is fourth.
Wasn't Gary Anderson that Falcons quarterback, though?
Oh, maybe he was. I thought he was a Falcon. Yeah, you have to look it up.
No, he was a kicker.
Kicker.
For, like, the Titans and Vikings.
There's a lot of kickers on this list. Yep. So, yeah, Jason Elam of the Broncos is fourth. So those are the top four. Kyler Murray is already seventh all-time for people who wore number one. Pat McAfee is 17th.
Oh!
Tua is actually tied for 32nd with an approximate value of 5. And Mike Vick, who wore number one in 2014, is tied for 42nd with approximate value of 2. Your boy.
In 2014.
Couldn't tell you. On the Eagles, I guess he wore number one for a year. I don't know.
What?
That's what they say.
Okay.
Now, but here's what I'm more interested in. The worst player to ever wear the number one is a guy by the name of Happy Feller.
That's one happy fella.
I'm not making this up. That's his name. He was a kicker. He was drafted in the fourth round by the Eagles in 1971. In his rookie season, he went 6-for-20 on field goals.
What?
For an approximate value of -2.
Oh.
For his entire 3-year career, he had an approximate value of -3, which ranks him 26,490th overall since 1960 among NFL players.
It was the worst ever.
I couldn't find like a list that actually showed the worst. I'm pretty sure he's the worst player of all time.
Oh my god! Really about.
But
that's incredible.
It's all good. He don't care because he's just a happy feller.
Oh my god! No, you just this is some hard hitting stuff right here. You uncovered the worst player in NFL history. That's amazing.
They only
guess,
go back.
I guess PFF technically did, but
right. Yeah. I didn't uncover it. You could probably do some better research and actually find the list, but like, it'll let you sort the like highest, but when you like opposite sort it, it doesn't go all the way to the bottom. So I just happened upon, because you can sort by jersey number, and then it shows
that's so
you
nice.
All
I was
time.
Wondering how they did that. I was like, can you search by jersey number? Okay.
You can. So there you go. Happy wow. feller. That's my
That's incredible. No, great research right there.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, Coin, let's move on for a little non-football segment before we get into our week one picks. We don't have a name for this, but I don't know. Was there a motivation for this segment? Do you want to take us through this?
There was literally no motivation for this segment. I was just kind of brainstorming, and I was thinking of game shows. I think I might have been reading something on Twitter, possibly, and Jeopardy came across my screen.
Mm.
And I was like, man, what would I do differently on Jeopardy? Or what could I do to revamp some shows? And I just, a lot of the times when we text, it's just kicking thoughts each other's
it
way.
Is
we
kicking
don't even expect a response.
Yeah. Correct.
And yes. So there's no rhyme or reason.
Okay. Well, Jeopardy's been in the news a lot lately, so maybe that's part of it.
Yeah.
So we're going to take 5 of the most popular game shows. We're going to throw out tweaks for each of them. And we're going to pick which one we'd like to see the most and move on from there. That's about it.
Yeah. All right.
And I can tell you my tweaks range from quite reasonable to quite ridiculous.
I don't like know about the you. Ridiculous. I don't think I did any too ridiculous ones. I was thinking very literally.
Oh, okay, good. Well, then we'll have a little bit of juxtaposition.
No, I like the way you went. I wish I would have done that now.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's start with Jeopardy, how about?
All right. Jeopardy, I actually have two ideas for.
I have two ideas for several, so that's fine.
Okay, perfect. There needs to be a bonus for sweeping an entire category.
Mm.
If somebody gets up there, runs the table, gets all five in one category, if you know all the answers and you buzz in fast enough to sweep an entire category, you should be awarded an extra $2,000 at the end of that.
I totally agree, but you're forgetting there is actually a reward, and it is a round of applause. Does that count?
No.
Okay.
No, it does not.
You need a monetary value. So $2,000, whether it's regular Jeopardy or double Jeopardy, just $2,000 flat rate?
Yep, just $2,000 extra. Okay. I guess $1,000, $2,000, I guess. That makes sense, right?
Sure. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
$1,000 single Jeopardy. All right. Second one. This one's a little out there, I guess. Similar to Star Power in Guitar Hero, if you answer five questions in a row correctly, you are allowed to double a question. It's double points, but also double possible losses.
Oh, okay. I like it. So I actually thought of it more of like you're playing an NBA video game where you like go on fire. Well, I guess you don't double the points. Yeah, I see the Star Power reference. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Five in a row. So let's say you get five in a row in a category. You swap. Are we adding both of your rules or only one or the other?
I guess we'll go one or the other, right?
Okay, gotcha.
But I want to hear yours first.
You can flip them on top. Okay, here's my idea. My ideas are not to improve the actual gameplay. Here we go. First idea, only the player who won the previous show gets to actually share something about themselves on the next show. Because I don't want to hear about any of these people at all. It drives me nuts. They have the dumbest facts about themselves. And, okay, if somebody starts reeling off a bunch of victories, we kind of want to know who they are and what they do. So you're allowed to say something about yourself if you've won a game.
I'm already ready to concede my changes just to have that one in the books. I don't give a shit about these losers.
All right, well, let's see if you like my second one then. We need stiffer penalties for people who finish the game of Jeopardy in the negatives. So
totally agree.
Each contestant is required to come to the show with $5,000 of their own money, all in small bills. If they finish the show in negative, then the host points out that every single person in this room did better than you today in Jeopardy. We all have more dollars than you. And then everyone in the audience lines up single file, and that person has to divvy out the negative money that they lost to everyone in the crowd.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I did look up that the worst ever Jeopardy loss was -7,400, I believe.
Oh, my God.
So I capped it at 5K. So if you go worse than that, it's okay. But if there's 100 people in the crowd, then you just dole out $50 to everybody in the crowd. Say, thanks for coming. I'm an idiot. Whew.
That's fantastic. Good for you.
It's a little out there. So I don't know why we can't compound rules. I guess that's the point of this game.
I think we should be able to.
Okay. Then I'm going to vote for the... your first one, the bonus for getting the whole category and then only letting people talk if they win.
Yeah, I've also vote for those two. Those
both
two
of our first ones. Options. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well done. Good. Handshake on that.
Handshake. Good. Would you like to go Family Feud now?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Mine is a quick one. So, funny enough, Family Feud was just on the TV before I came downstairs to record this. So this is after Fast Money. They offer the family a chance to go double or nothing on all the money they just won. And we call it All In for the Family instead of All in the Family. Mm. So what they do is they put all five contestants on screen and they ask, similar to Fast Money, you ask them all same question. But what must happen is they must have 3 out of 5 of the same answers on at least 3 of the 5 questions.
3 out of 5 of the same answers.
So, like, if you, like, what is your favorite animal at the zoo? 3 of the 5 people must say giraffe, or must say, like, they have to have the same answer. It doesn't even matter if it's, like, right. Like, if they're all, like, rhino, ape.
So you want everybody to get the same answer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it proves that you're a true family because you think alike.
Exactly, exactly.
Any opportunity for the family to lose all the money that they've just won, I'm in. Like, that was such a fun half hour. You'll go home with nothing.
It's all about the experience.
I don't know if we're going to get to the show that you claim is a perfect game show. We could get to that later, but there is that component in that one.
That's the best part of it.
That's the best part of it. Yeah, I agree. I'm obviously in. I don't know that there's probably not going to be any of these that you or I disagree with, per se.
No, you're right.
They're all going to say, this why it should be the I love that pod. I like that. I love that. That's the reaction for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled with... I wanted to penalize people for clapping and saying good answer when it's not, in fact, a good answer. But I didn't go with that. I love that. I decided to go with that it would make Family Feud better if all contestants had to wear bald caps and mustaches to match Steve Harvey.
That's like... you've seen the picture of one... the dude who started.
I don't know what you're going to say.
The dude who started bum fights goes on Dr. Phil, and he shaved his head and grew a mustache and cut his hair the same as Dr. Phil.
No, I haven't seen that. I gotta look it up. That's exactly the same. That's what I'm going for. That's what I'm going for.
That's incredible.
Okay. All right, so then I guess we can just rule to adopt both of our rules. And
I'm getting all hot now. That's really funny.
Me too. I was thinking about turning on the AC. I'm actually going to turn on the AC. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
I'm pausing.
Ooh. Okay, anyways. Yeah, let's adopt both of those.
Okay, good.
It's not our fault that we always have great ideas.
There was something else that bothers me with Family Feud that I was going to say, but I forgot what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
Okay. Let's move on to, your favorite game, Wheel of Fortune.
All right, Wheel of Fortune. My fix here is that the show is canceled because it's the worst show on TV.
That's it.
and actuality, I think the scoring just sucks in Wheel. Mm. It's not good. Contestants buy vowels, and then they get the amount of money that they spun for how many consonants on the board. And then this is the part that really bothers me. So when they answer the question right, they just round it up to like 1,000 and just give them that money. There should be bonuses for answering a question early. Why are there no fucking bonuses? Like, if you have 3 letters on the board and somebody's like, fuck it, I'm taking a swing, you should... I think so. What I want to have happen is like, there should be a bonus for solving the puzzle with a ton of space remaining. So, like, if you have over 50% of the letters remaining, you get, like, 5x the amount of points you had before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, if you had had, like, 2,500 or whatever it was, like, bang, you're up at 12,500. Is that make? And then, like, if you have 40% left, you get 4 times or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think... And then that promotes people just throwing wild guesses out there that are nowhere near the correct answer, which is fine.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah, you should reward people. And then people are just going to see like blank letters and just guess. And sometimes they're going to get it right and be like, holy shit,
right,
you just got that.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And that would just make for better clips on like Twitter and YouTube and stuff.
Tell me about it. Come on, Sajak. Yeah. Get your head in
Come
the
on, Sage.
My only idea for Wheel of Fortune would just be like move it to a different channel and make it like dirty. Like the phrases are just like dirty phrases. Like
I could get
things
on that.
To do. And then it'd be like, fuck bitches, get money or something.
Oh, okay.
And then that, or like just do straight movie quotes. Like it's only they give you the movie and then they have the quote up there. Well, if they gave you the movie, that probably makes it too easy. But
yeah, that's true.
I don't really love my ideas. I think we just probably roll with yours.
Okay, let's just
we just take your first idea. We just cancel Wheel of Fortune.
We just cancel the show and don't put it right before. Is it after Jeopardy?
Yeah,
right,
you know what's
Jeopardy,
messed
right?
up here, and for some reason, I don't know if it's like this on the East Coast, but in Central Time, or at least in Chicago, Jeopardy airs at 3:30 p.m. Makes no sense, and then Wheel of Fortune comes on like at a reasonable time. So like when I come home from work, Wheel of Fortune will be on, but I'll never see Jeopardy unless I come home.
What? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, West Coast time, 6 p.m. Jeopardy is perfection.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Okay. How about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
That's the Slumdog one, right?
Oh, that's right.
Who
Wants to Be Chamillionaire?
Chamillionaire.
Oh,
that would be amazing.
That would be a good show. Has no one
All right, is that your twist? Is that your twist?
It should be.
Who Wants better to Be than Chamillionaire? My twist. That's funny.
Riding dirty. Okay.
What's yours? You ready?
Yeah.
This is a very simple fix. It's a shuffle option. So if you don't like the question, you can opt for a shuffle where you get a brand new question at that same like difficulty level. I'm just trying to decide if you make it so the question is in the same category of knowledge. So if it's like a history question, do they just get another hard history question?
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Do you have to come back and answer that one later?
No.
It's just like a skip question. So you're just adding a lifeline, basically.
Yeah. Just adding a lifeline.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I like that idea. We've been watching this show on the Game Show Network called, I can't think of what it's called. America Says. You ever watch that?
Mm-mm.
It's sort of Family Feud-esque, and it's got the dude from, what is he? You seen Pitch Perfect?
Yeah.
You know the judge guy? The kind of flamboyant guy? Have you seen Fired Up?
Oh, I have. Oh, that guy.
The camp counselor guy, yeah.
Yes, okay. Of course. I knew immediately.
So he's the host of the show, and I don't think he's very good as the host.
Do you think more people have seen Fired Up or Pitch Perfect?
I'm certain that Pitch Perfect has been seen.
I knew the Fired Up guy immediately.
I actually know him best from The Breakup with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston, because he goes, "Move yourself. You always live your life." You don't remember that part?
So The Breakup is one of those we've talked about before. I don't do great with awkward stuff. And there is like the first half of that movie is real, real tough for me to watch. And I think I've started it and quit like 10 times, but I've seen it all.
It's pretty awkward. Yeah. It's a pretty good rom-com. It's a good flick.
Yeah.
I like Vince Vaughn. Yeah. But there's a scene where he's doing his like acapella group at the table. And it's a really good scene. All right. So for Millionaire, I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, America Says
Yeah.
So they kind of have a similar like Family Feud answer thing where they asked America and you have to guess what America said. But in the final round, you can skip a question, but you have to come back to it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was thinking. But, gotcha. My ideas for Millionaire, I was first thinking, you like combine it with Fear Factor, so like in order to use your lifelines, you have to like eat an elk penis or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't really like that one that much. So here's what I settled on: you start the game with a baby sitting in your lap, and after every question, a new person sits on your lap that's slightly larger than the previous one. So by the time you get to the $1 million question, you've got like a 400-pound dude sitting in your lap, and you're just like racking your brain, and your legs are being crushed, and it's just a little more difficult. So.
How bad does the 400-pound person smell?
I mean, what do you think?
Like an average 400-pounder.
Right, average. No worse than your average 400-pounder.
I mean, obviously we're picking your rule. I don't know. Oh, man, that's fucking good. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. What would be worse? Like, what if the baby sucks? And
right, the baby's crying.
I would rather have, like, the 180-pound person on my lap than a baby, I think.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And what if, like, it's a good-looking girl? You know, maybe you want her on your lap. I don't know.
Right.
Who knows? It's not, though.
But maybe... But you like have a good-looking girl up there, but then you get it's like when you're golfing and the cart girl comes up, and she has to watch you drive, and you get all nervous like that. Would that be the same situation?
It might be actually, yeah. It might throw you off. I'm picturing you go from like a baby to like Vern Troyer to like Sherman Merman.
Vern Troyer's dead body.
Oh, he died. That's right. All right, is Wee Man alive? No, he died.
No, Wee Man's alive.
I think Wee Man died.
No way. They wouldn't make a Jackass movie without him.
Wee Man. He's alive. Yeah, he's alive. He's four foot Italian.
That's a fun fact.
That is Italian. Okay. All right, moving on. Last one.
We're picking yours.
Deal or no deal?
Okay, I like this one. I got this one. I call this the Monty Hall option. Are you familiar? The game show host question.
Monty Hall?
In math, yeah.
I don't know Monty Hall.
It's the one, so when it gets down to the final two cases left, two cases left to choose from, one in your hands.
Okay.
The host stops and shows the lesser value of the case in the stands and asks you if you would like to switch cases with the other one.
Okay.
There is no deal made at that point, but would they switch? So that's the Monty Hall, the game show host problem is the one where it's like, there's three doors here. Behind one door is a new car. Behind the other two are goats. And so you choose your door, and the game show host shows you one door with a goat behind it. And they're like, would you like to switch doors? And the math most people think is like, well, now I have a 50-50 shot of, you know, like, is my case, or is my door right, or is the other one right? But the mathematical way to think about it is you should switch every time because he just gave you a 2-to-1, basically, that you're getting the car.
That's incredible that this came across your brain, because yesterday, by chance, Katie threw on the movie 21, and we watched it last week. Are you serious?
Last week, yeah.
That is very strange. So yeah. You always have to account for variable change, as they say.
I always have to account for variable change.
Because Katie was like, can you explain that to me? And I'm like, not really, but Elvis probably could have done a better job. I still don't understand how is that a 2-to-1 chance of getting it right? I don't get it.
So basically, if you think, I still don't really get it fully either, but if you think of all of them as like if it's like all the same value or whatever, he's basically telling you that there are two over here, and I'm telling you which one this one isn't. And so you know that you're picking one of the two, like you get those two doors. I don't know. It doesn't really make sense to me either.
But it's math. It's math. So wait, who's the guy? Monty Hall came up with this?
Monty Hall. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Throw that twist in there and then see what numbnuts stick with their case. Because everyone's like, oh, I felt good about my case from the beginning. I felt good about it. I could just feel it. It's a good one. And then they
blow. Would you switch?
Well, now, yeah. I'm a logic guy.
I have too much pride.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what they say? Luck is a skill.
It is a skill. That's a good point. I'm going to pick the $1 million case off the get-go. If I got on that show, I'd pick a case, and I'd be like, let's just fast forward to the end.
I'm not taking any fucking deal.
Just give me what's in the case. That's all I want to know. That would be sweet if somebody did that, actually.
Open these fucking cases.
Open them.
And then you just, every time he like goes to do it, you try to touch Howie, and he's like, don't fucking touch me, because he's like a germ freak.
I wanted to do something with Howie Mandel, but I didn't mean that. That guy is so weird.
Very strange.
All right, my last idea, my idea for Deal or No Deal, is one of the suitcases has a gun in it, and the gun contains a single bullet, and when the girl opens the case, she grabs the gun, and she has 5 seconds to shoot it. If she hits you, you're allowed to run. If she hits you, she gets the $1 million, and the show is over.
Oh, shit.
That's
good. Oh, man. That's the hardest I've laughed on this in a while.
I mean, don't tell me that wouldn't be an exciting show.
Oh, man.
So you're in?
So we're going to go with that one.
Okay.
Wow. That was fucking funny.
Okay. I think we fixed all the game shows.
You can run. Holy shit, man. Right. Got me good.
Thank God that AC's on. I'm
all right. I know. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as I did, because I can't really stop laughing right now.
Did you have any other thoughts?
Oh. Yeah, I have one on Menchie. So the one we referenced earlier is the game show Cash Cab, which is quite literally the perfect game show. I love it so much. And that would be like one of the few things that could get me to go to New York, I think.
Like you'd just go to New York just for hopes that you'd get into the cash cab?
Yeah, just like maybe I get lucky. I don't think it's still going anymore, right?
No. And what's that guy, How Ben do you Bailey. Feel about? You think he is the perfect host?
He's fine as a host, but I mean, he's like, I feel like he did well. He's a little low key, and I feel like you kind of want that.
Yeah.
In a way.
You might not want some like psycho driving you around. Like maybe that's part of it. Like he's got your life in his hands, so maybe he makes people feel a little safe when he's a little chill. Mm-hmm. Cash Cab is almost as good as Pontoon Payday.
Oh, fuck. I didn't even think of this. Yeah. I still need to go check Hulu if our episode's on there.
I think I checked one time. I don't know. We do need to check. Are all the episodes on Hulu?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Okay. I'll check it out. I agree. Cash Cab, fantastic show. Watched it recently.
The other one I was thinking about was Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Mm. I just think that there should be some kind of like... It should just be against like a panel of kids like K through 12, no?
I feel like the kid should be sitting on your lap, probably.
That's exactly it, actually.
You're just saying like...
Or like just... in the final round, you go up against like an eighth grader and it's like a speed round.
Oh, an eighth grader? That's kind of intimidating. Yeah. And he like rides his BMX bike in?
Yeah, exactly.
To like freak you out a little bit?
With his girlfriend on the pegs.
Oh, sweet. And she's wearing like those DC shoes.
No, like Osiris. Bacon. Big ones.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, even better. Maybe she got Marvin the Martian on her jeans, on her cut-up jeans.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. And her sweatshirt is like 2 feet past her butt.
Yeah. And like there's holes like kind of in the wrist area that she puts her thumb through. And she has lots of face piercings.
And she just got like a new cartilage piercing in her ear, but it's like kind of infected. So you're like a little grossed out.
Right. And she smells kind of bad.
Yeah. They gotta smell. Right. Otherwise, no deal. That's it for me.
Okay, that's it for both of us. Let us know which of these shows you'd like to see.
That was a hodgepodge. I love that.
That was good. Good. Love it when a segment comes together.
Me too. It was worth it.
That was one of the most last-minute ones we've ever done. Yeah.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Okay, Coyne. It is time for the second installment of The Bookie Show. You're still laughing about that. We're going to make...
Still laughing at the deal or no deal thing. All right, let's get serious. We got money on the line, baby. Shout out Quinn Mahoney. Shout out Bookie Show.
Shout out Quinn Mahoney. So, long story short, we are each going to have $100, fake dollars to spend each week. Here's how the distribution is going to work. We're going to make our weekly hashtag teaser night football pick together. We're going to agree on one. $24 each on that.
Yep.
We're going to eventually, at the end of the show, make our underdog pick. We're going to put $10 on that. That leaves us with $66 each to make our picks for the week, which makes sense if you're betting on -110 odds, $322 bets. If you know how betting works, makes sense. That's all I have to say. So with that, let's start with our hashtag teaser night football. It is the Tampa Bay Bucks, reigning champs, are 8-point home favorites over Dallas. The over-under is 52. Your thoughts, Coyne?
I'm just going to jump right into it. I think we should do the Bucks and the under.
And why is that?
I think that the Cowboys defense will actually be a smidge better than people think. And I don't think that the Cowboys will score very much on this Bucks defense. Brady will also get off to a slow start. And if I had to guess, and I do, I think the game finishes somewhere like 23-14.
Interesting. We're definitely going with the Bucks. I was leaning over. I don't have to point this out to you. Reigning champs are 37-16-1 in week one following a Super Bowl victory. So Bucks are gonna win this game. So it's really just a matter of how good we think the Cowboys defense is gonna be. I think Brady's gonna come out slinging, and Dak's really good at garbage time. If he's down 20-14, he's gonna score a couple touchdowns at the end. So but I'm not super strong on the over. That was just my initial thought.
I feel like for most of last season, what we saw is Brady's in like LeBron mode right now. He's cruising. He's not going hard in the first few weeks of the season. I think that this is where he just like lays off. I mean,
my only concern is game one, prime time, star of the year. Like, all eyes on him. Mm-hmm. That's my only thought. But okay.
I feel more confident in the under.
Okay. Okay. I'm willing to see. Thank you. We'll take the under. And you're going to see a theme with my picks along those same lines. So we will be taking...
We've talked about this before, yes.
The right. Bucks minus two and over... under 58. Under 58. Yep. Okay.
Jump in for some teaser night football.
And that is minus 120. Yep. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I owe you 20 bucks, huh?
For what?
22 bucks.
I can't remember. Oh, the Wisconsin. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. All right. Give me your first pick.
Underdoggies? Or are we going the other picks?
No. Let's just do our picks first. We'll end with underdog. All right. I got ideas for rebranding of underdog that I'll throw your way.
Okay. Cool. So this week, Noel, I'm going to start it out with just a simple, you know, I get in trouble. I do a lot of big parlays. I do a lot of three-team teasers. I'm going to try to, like, maybe pare it down to a few things I really feel confident in. Okay. Week one, I'm going to be going $22 on the over 50 in Packers at Saints. I think that Rodgers is still, he's just on this weird revenge tour. I don't think he's going to come out and be, like, you know, holding this grudge against the Packers. He's not going to not be trying hard. I think he's all in on this team, and he's really trying to win. I also think that they get up early, and then the Saints try to let Jameis sling the ball late. And it's just scoring touch, garbage time touchdowns. I think that this is going to be, like, honestly, like a 38-30 game.
I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be. So I'm in on that. Very nice.
Oh, yeah.
I will be taking my first pick, the Seattle Seahawks minus 2.5 over the Colts. It's more just a factor of trusting my guy Russ, our guy Russ.
Our guy.
You're getting that extra half point. I think the Seahawks are better. I think the Colts have kind of been a shit show with injuries and COVID and Wentz being in and out, and I just find it hard to believe that they're just going to be firing on all cylinders week one. The Seahawks last year proved that they can come out of the gate hot. I think they started the year like crazy hot. Russ was just dropping bombs, was the MVP for the first half of the year. So no reason to think they can't do that again. If it was three, I might stay away, but I like getting that extra half point there. So
I don't think I would be joining in on that with you. Just the Colts defense makes me a little nervous. I like their front seven a lot. Mm-hmm. They're tenacious, and the Seahawks line is spotty at best.
Yeah.
Okay. I know that Dwayne Brown didn't just sign a contract, but I don't think I'm quite there yet.
That's
fair. But I don't hate the pick.
Okay.
I will be doing next a moneyline parlay. That is the Niners, Larm, and the Ravens. I have been talking about for the last, I don't know, month and a half about how much I like Stafford to the Rams. I think this team comes out hot. The Ravens are playing the Raiders on Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. The Raiders can be a tricky team to bet on, but the Ravens are just always so put together at the beginning of a season. I think that for the last few years, they get out. They're always on, you know, 5-2, 6-1, 7-0 starts. They just get it done early. And I like this Niners team to just beat up a bad Lions team. The Lions, they suck ass. They're terrible.
They are buns. They will be buns. Jared Goff is buns.
Anyways, this Moneyline parlay is plus 134. And I'll be getting $22 on it.
I will not be joining you because I think that people are underrating the Bears a little bit. And
that's fair.
I get that what Larm's like, what, 7.5-point favorite over the Bears?
It's too much.
It's a lot. It is too much. I considered actually taking the Bears plus 7.5, but I did not
take the Bears as my loser in my loser pool.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. We'll see. I'll be interested to see what mix of Dalton and Fields we get. Sounds like it's going to be Dalton, but we'll see. Okay. My second pick, I'm taking an under. I would be taking Vikings-Bengals under 47.5. Mm-hmm. Bengals offense, by all reports, has been really bad in camp. They can't complete a pass. They're going to struggle against that Vikes D. Now, the flip side here is that there's not really a reason to think that the Vikings aren't going to light up the Bengals. Like, they've got their duo of wideouts. They got Dalvin Cook. Everybody's healthy. So I don't really have a reason why the Bengals are going to hold them to less than 30 points. other than I've just got this inkling. I just feel like this is a bad, like, Zimmer and Kirky's last year with the Vikings. I feel like they're just going to have to bail on that at some point, and I just have this feeling. So last year the Vikings were 7-9. The only teams they beat outside of their division were Houston, Jacksonville, and Carolina, three of the potentially worst teams in the league. So last year they couldn't really beat anyone that wasn't atrocious. Maybe the Bengals are going to be atrocious, but really just counting on the Bengals not scoring here.
Yeah, no, I actually like this one. I do worry sometimes about Dalvin Cook getting hot and going off, and then Kirky still has Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen to throw to, but I don't really see it from the Bengals still. I think they'll figure it out in the middle part of the year. I just think that they need more time.
Yeah, and Burrow so, coming like off. Bet. Yeah, AC.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, third pick.
All right, this next one, Noel, is for you a bit. I will be betting on the Chargers to commit the first turnover of the game at even odds.
Nice.
For $22. Herbert did not play a single snap in the preseason, and he's going up against possibly the best defensive line in the NFL while traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast. Mm. I just think that that's not a recipe for... I think it's going to be a tight game. I'm not going to pick a winner here. I just think that there's good odds that the Chargers get to him and he possibly fumbles or force him into a bad throw.
I really love... But this is penalty, not turnover. Or is it turnover?
First turnover.
Oh, I thought you said penalty for some reason. No, I was thinking first flag. Okay. No, first turnover.
First turnover of the game.
Is it like even odds?
Or yeah, even odds.
Even odds. Okay. Oh, fantastic job. I love that you searched a little deeper than just the surface picks. So I'll be rooting for that. I won't be betting on it, but I'm rooting.
Okay.
All right, here's a pick that you probably won't like. I'm going to take Falcons-Eagles under 48.
Good bet.
Last year, the Eagles averaged 19.4 points per game with Jalen Hurts, which would have ranked 28th in the league. Atlanta begins the Julio Jones-less era on week one.
Don't bring it up.
I have stated publicly that I fear for a Matt Ryan cliff one of these years. Not saying it's going to start this week. But ultimately, I just don't trust the Eagles offense to be able to put up points. And I think Atlanta... I don't know that Atlanta is just going to immediately know what to do without Julio Jones. That's it.
Yeah. No, I genuinely meant it. I think this is a good pick. Okay. I told you before the podcast, I was listening to Unnamed BS Pod.
Yeah.
The over-unders, and Simmons said something about the Falcons going possibly 11-6 or 12-5. And I was like, dude, fuck off. Thank you so much. What an asshole. I'm pretty sure he does it to troll every single fucking year.
Probably. He just loves to stick it to the Falcons fans. I mean, I wouldn't be just totally shocked if the Falcons were pretty good this year.
I wouldn't either, but I'm just trying not to put any eggs in that basket until I see something.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I don't think our offense will be that bad. Genuinely, I think that we had coordinators who had no idea what to do with Julio.
Yeah.
For like genuinely like the years that he was here, like he was great. He could have definitely been better. Mm-hmm. Like he's like one of the most athletically gifted people that's ever touched a football field, and the guy scores 4 touchdowns a year. That doesn't make any sense.
No. So, certainly doesn't. Yeah.
I just think that it's possible that the regression from losing him won't be that bad, and I mean the only place for our defense to go is up. So
true. Very true.
So I don't hate it.
Okay. Okay. You have any other picks before we do our underdog picks?
No, that's it.
So underdog picks. Last year there was the Gucci Mane dog pick of the week. So
I'm a dog.
I'm wondering if we rebrand it. Here's some brainstorm ideas for you. So we could stick with the rapper. Maybe Lil Bow Wow. That's kind of a dog sounding name.
Okay. Okay.
Then I thought something along the lines of all underdogs go to heaven.
Okay.
Is there something there? Don't know what that would be. All right. We can name it after a famous dog, like Scooby Snacks. These are Scooby Snacks.
Oh, I like these as Scooby Snacks, actually.
Scooby Snacks is a possibility. My last option would be the Toto picks. Toto as in the dog from Wizard of Oz, of course.
Allison. Yeah, that's what I meant.
And if we did that, we could call ourselves the Wizards of Odds.
Well, we're going to be going with that last one, especially for that reason.
So these
you
are
have to play the, you have to play. There's a couple clips in there I feel like we could use for that.
We could use clips. I was also thinking we could use songs by the band Toto somehow as well. Like Africa or Hold the Line. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's definitely some clips like famous quotes from The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that. Let's go with Toto and The Wizards of Oz.
Okay. All right. So for our week one, Toto and the Wizards of Oz picks. We'll figure out how to phrase it.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll figure out how to phrase this better.
I'm going to let you pick first, Coin.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you.
I'm certain you're not picking who I'm picking. So.
I'm also certain.
So listeners, if you don't recall, we each have to pick a team who is not favored to win. And we have to pick them to win outright. And if we both get it right, then whichever team is the bigger underdog, that person gets the win for the week. And we'll
keep track.
Okay, who do you got?
All right, Noel. I will be taking this week the Dolphins, who are 3-point dogs at the Patriots. That's plus 145 on the money line. I will happily bet against Mac Jones in his very first ever NFL start. He looked fine in the preseason going against up against backups and making dump off passes, but this is an actual NFL game against a division rival.
Probably I was very close to taking this pick. I think it's definitely the right pick. I'm excited to see Tua. I feel like everyone just gave up on him so fast. I think he's still.
I like Tua still. I think he's got a shot.
Yeah. I'd consider on going in on that with you. I may bet them.
Okay. So. Okay.
Here's a pick I know you are gonna loathe. I'm gonna take the Pittsburgh Steelers plus 6.5 at the Buffalo Bills. They are plus 230. Mainly just feel like this line is too high. I'd probably be more inclined to just bet the points and not the money line. But, oh well, I'm taking a big shot, plus 230. The Steelers were definitely not as good as their record last year. They were a bit of frauds at 11-0 before the Washington football team knocked them out off. But they still have an elite defense. They've still got a very deep wide receiver core. They've got a new running back, Najee Harris. Should be a lot better than James Conner, whatever was left of him. And so it really just comes down to you have to believe if Big Ben is as rejuvenated or as in shape as people say he is, or if he's going to hold up. Here's the thing. The thing that I think reasonably people doubt Big Ben on is if he can hold up for a whole season. It doesn't matter in week one. We're just talking about one game. And the Pittsburgh Steelers will come out, all you know, if they're healthy, their roster is as good as anybody's in the league.
Totally agree.
On the flip side, you got Josh Allen, who probably for the first time in his career is under a little bit of pressure and a little bit of expectations. I don't know what he was expected to do at Wyoming or whatever, but like before last year, they were just hoping he was going to be an above average quarterback. Now he's like, if he's MVP or bust practically, and they're Super Bowl or bust. So we'll see how he responds to it. I know you're huge on Joshy, but I think it's worth noting that roster-wise, I don't think these teams are very much different. It's just a matter of if you're comparing quarterbacks from last year, Joshy was probably 6.5 points better than Big Ben last year. But if you don't think that that's going to continue, then that's where you take the Steelers.
I actually don't hate this bet at all. And it's one I also consider.
Okay.
I do love the Bills this year. I think they're going to be fantastic. I think Josh is going to be awesome. I did the same thing as you. I saw this line. And we've talked about, I actually am really high on Ben this year. I think that he's going to be awesome. He's going to be slinging the rock. At the very least, this is going to be an interesting game. And it's probably one, now that we're talking about it, I might sprinkle quite a bit on the over.
Okay.
I like this to be a very high scoring game.
Okay. Okay.
I can see it. But I actually like this pick a lot. I think it's a good find, Noel. The other one I actually considered for a second, briefly. I looked for a minute at Browns over Chiefs.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate it. I could see it happening. Kind of just people are a little bit shocked to start the year, but...
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like betting as Chiefs in general.
No, doesn't feel good.
I looked at the Bears over the Rams, but...
That's fair.
Maybe that's a little...
Totally
a little
fair. Much.
Okay. Before we do Stump, I think we... Do you have picks for the Final Four? Or just the Super Bowl?
That's right. I may have forgotten about that part. Do you want to go? Okay,
that's fine. I can give mine. Are you willing to give yours out with 30 seconds?
Yeah, I did think about, I know who I want for the AFC. I'm thinking about the NFC.
All right, my AFC pick is quite boring. I'm going to go with Chiefs over Ravens in the AFC Championship. Like, I just have less faith in the Bills. I just think we're due for that Lamar-Mahomes matchup. And I just can't, in good conscience, bet against Mahomes in the AFC. So I don't know who else is really. You want to go Browns or Steelers, I guess. Or if you want to go, I don't really want to go AFC South team. I am high on the Titans to some extent, but more so regular season than playoffs. So.
Right.
So Chiefs over Ravens. Sorry. NFC Championship. This is where I get a little wacky. I'm going to go with my guy, Russ Wilson, get back to the Super Bowl by defeating the Washington football team in the NFC Championship game.
I love it.
I was tempted by the Packers because the whole Last Dance thing, but I feel like when I'm envisioning how next offseason goes, I don't envision like walking off into the sunset. I envision another disappointment for Rodgers, and then he bails. And the smart money is on the Bucks again, but I don't know. At some point, a 43-year-old quarterback, I know he's the best ever, but at some point, right? He's got to fall off, so I don't know. We'll see, but... Hawks over the Skins, and then Super Bowl. I'm going to take the faves. I'm going to go Mahomes over Russ in the Super Bowl. Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's faulting you there. And my mind's not going to look that much crazier, to be honest. Okay. I mean, my AFC is also going to be Chiefs, but I am going to take the Bills. I think I'm confident in it.
Rematch.
It'll be a close one. It'll just be, a rematch of last year. I think these guys are going to be running the AFC for a minute.
Okay.
And then on the other side, I am going to be taking Larm.
Nice.
To be beating Aaron Rodgers. Another NFC Championship loss, and this is going to be the one that does him in. He's out of Green Bay.
Brutal.
And then in the Super Bowl, same as you. It's hard to... If in the next 3 years, like say it was like plus 500 odds every single year that the Chiefs were going to win the Super Bowl, like I just bet that. Like, they're going to win one of the next three.
It's a good point. I think I saw plus 450s this year.
Yeah, which, plus 450. Like, just do it. Like, that's free money.
Yeah. I didn't think about that. Maybe I will.
Mm-hmm.
I love the pick. You get a rematch of that huge 54-51 game from a couple years ago, but except it's Stafford instead of Goff, so that's better. I think the Rams are, like, second or third in the NFC odds. I think they have better odds than the Packers. Or like which is wild.
A little too much.
A little too much hype. Yeah, Stafford has zero playoff wins in his career, so I guess we're gonna put him in the Super Bowl. All right, fair enough. Okay, there's our picks. And what time is it now? Would you say?
It is 10:33.
It sounds like it might be a little time for a little bit of Simpson. That is right, everybody. It is time for Week 1 Stump Town. The NFL is currently stacked with wide receiver talent, Coin. Mm-hmm. It seems like every year the talent pool just gets deeper and deeper. Passing and receiving records are being surpassed left and right. And with a 17-game regular season, we are about to see many single-season records fall. We're going receivers here, Coin. Since 1965, there have only been 20 instances of a player reaching 1,600 receiving yards in a season. Remarkably, all 20 of those instances have been in the last 25 years. So, literally between 1965 and 1995, it didn't happen one time. Five of those 20 instances were players that have done it twice. So, there are 15 players who have gotten 1,600 yards since 1965. Nobody's done it three times. It's going to sound like a lot, but hear me out here.
Can you repeat that last part again?
There are 15 players who have hit 1,600 yards in a season since 1965, and they've all been in the last 25 years.
Okay.
And five guys have done it twice. Name 11 out of the 15 players since 1995 who have hit 1,600 yards. But the catch is, if you guess the guys who have done it twice, I give you 2 points. So you really don't need to get 11 correct if you guess the guys that have done it twice, right?
Gotcha.
So, because 11 out of 15 is pretty rough. So,
okay.
Let me pull up the list here, and the floor is yours.
I'm going to go Jerry.
Jerry Rice only did it one time, believe it or not, but he has the third most yards in a season with 1,848, and that was in 1995.
Mm-hmm. Julio?
Julio Jones, one of the five guys who have done it twice. He has the second most yards and the 12th most yards in a season.
Yep. Calvin?
Calvin Johnson has done it twice, and he also has the record for most yards in a season with 1,964.
Yep. Randy Moss?
Randy Moss only did it one time with Minnesota in 2003, but yes, he's on the list. So you are at 6. You need 5 more points.
Josh Gordon, I believe, did it too.
Fantastic guess, Coin. Josh Gordon had 1,646 yards in 2013. And I think that was in like 14 games or something. It was stupid.
Right. Okay. Demaryius Thomas?
Demaryius Thomas in 2014, in fact, went for 1,619.
Okay.
You only need 3 more points, and you have all your strikes left.
I want to say Steve Smith did it one time.
Steve Smith, his best season was 1,563 yards in 2005. Steve Reich won.
Huge bummer. Torrey Holt?
Torrey Holt, indeed, is one of the guys who's done it twice. He did it in the year 2000 and the year 2003 for the St. Louis Rams.
Hell yes.
Okay, only need one more.
Una Mas. Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harrison is the other guy who's done it twice. You've actually got 12 points now. He did it in 02, and he did it in 99.
Nice.
You want to keep going?
Kinda.
Keep going.
I was thinking, so the 2019, was it one of the Vikings receivers?
No.
Never mind then. I'll kill myself.
Never mind. You should just go fuck yourself.
Antonio Brown, by chance?
Antonio Brown. Yes. Actually, I lied. He's also done it twice.
Okay.
Antonio Brown did it in 2015 and in 2014. He did it consecutive seasons.
I don't know how I forgot about him.
Yeah.
And did Roddy do it one year?
No, he did not. Okay. Roddy White? I don't even think he's even near the top of the list. All right, I'll tell you. Oh, I just saw Santana Moss down there. The most recent, Michael Thomas, 2019.
Mm, yeah, I should have gotten that.
The other guy from The Greatest Show on Turf, Isaac Bruce, did it.
Isaac, I almost said it. Dang it.
In 95, Michael Irvin for the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
In 2000, Rod Smith for the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. And then the two hard ones were Jimmy Smith for the Jags in 99.
I've heard of that guy, actually. I've
heard of him. The name. And Herman Moore for the Lions in 95. It was a big year for receivers in 95. 4 guys did it that year.
Damn.
Pretty wild.
Passing boom.
Yeah, so there you go. You crushed Stumptown. Well done.
Hell yeah. Stumpies can't contain me.
That's right. And that has been the week one episode of The Rookie Show.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
Where can they... You can follow us at Rookie Show Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
You can indeed.
You can... where can they follow you, Coin?
You can follow me at King Coin on both Instagram and Twitter, actually.
You can follow me at Decream Fillin on Twitter. You can follow me at C. Travis Knoll on Instagram. The C, of course, stands for Charlie Hennigan, who in 1964 had 1,546 receiving yards for the Houston Oilers.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Charlie Hennigan, nice work. I know. What a baller.
Nice job, guy.
Thanks. Charlie Hennigan, Travis Knoll is my name. Okay. That's going to do it here for the
Show
Pod. Who's playing us out?
Toto.
Toto, play us out.
Toto, play us out. Okay, sick. Play us out.
I'm also going to have to throw in some. Maybe I could throw in some game show noises for our... I'll probably play Hold the Line by Toto. Do you know that one?
Nope.
Okay, you'll hear it. You'll know it. All right, that'll do it. See you later.
Peace.